now we come to the reason why we're here, how election software can fail. Experiences from a hacker working at the Election Council of the Netherlands. Our speaker today is Benjamin Bersma. A hacker, full-stack developer, and advisor about internet standards, and he likes code. I think he will tell you more about everything and what we are to expect from this talk right now. So, you got the word.
So, I worked 844 days at the Election Council of the Netherlands, which were 5 elections with software and some 6 larger software incidents. Disclaimer, I'm currently still employed by the Ministry of Interior. However, the opinions expressed in its talks are solely my own and don't reflect the opinions or beliefs of my employer, the Ministry of Interior. My employer did not pay for this travel, stay or time here. This is my day off. And that's for the legal disclaimer. This is my internal governmental profile. If you use proper internet standards, of course, there wouldn't be confetti. So a little bit overview of what my talk will be. Some backgrounds of the voting system and history in the Netherlands. Some information about the software being used and my experiences and some incidents. And some post-employment incidents and some perspective on the future. So, actually, in the Dutch constitution, there is that the members of the both chambers of the parliament are elected on the basis of proportional representation, and that's in the constitution, and that elections should be secret, and everything concerning elections is regulated in the law. And this is pretty important that everything is defined beforehand, otherwise, gets messy. And some more details, we use the national elections are divided in 20 electoral districts, and we use the largest average for the majority of the elections of more than 90 seats. And otherwise, we use the largest remainder, and the threshold for national elections are 1 seat, about 65,000 votes. We use paper ballots and for postal voting for the Dutch people living abroad. And the paper ballot here, they can get pretty large, like this size. So the Dutch vote on Wednesday, which we join with 3 other countries, South Africa, Indonesia, and South Korea, which is pretty unique. And the Netherlands had some history with electronic voting computers. I also used to vote on this machine you can see here. But thanks to Rob, Willem, and others, this is now history. They converted the machine in a badly playing chess computer, but that didn't got it banned. Actually, what did got it banned was that so easy voting fraud was not a problem, because that was not in the law. What was in the law was the secret of your ballot, and they actually created a Christian Democratic Party detection, and that could be done remotely based on the electromagnetic noise. And that caused the real ban of the voting computer. Because, if you can see from 60 meters that somebody is voting for the Christian Democratic Party, your vote is not secret anymore. And that that got it banned, although there's a bit debating, maybe more got in the mind of the lawyers that got it banned, but officially this is the stance. And since that got banned, there was a desire to at least create some voting software to help the municipalities, because They used to have something easy, the machines, and they would calculate everything. They would calculate at the polling station, they would go to the municipality that would add it up, and now they need to do the ballots. They were really annoyed. So the government had created this software, the OSV, Ondersteunende Software Verkiezing, or Election Supporting Software. It's created in 2009, and it was used for 10 years until 2019. And it stated quite some legal requirements for the software. It should work for every election. Accidental or intentional misuse should be prevented. It should be open source, open standards. Should work on multiple operating systems, including an open source operating system. The authenticity of the software and data should be checked. Really nice requirements. And because of the open standards, it also uses EML, Election Markup Language, which is an international XML-based standard. And they added some Dutch approach to this because they needed to add more data. And they restricted it more. And but the XML is pretty verbose. It's like from a big city, it's like 15 megabyte single line, no spaces XML. Of course, it compresses really well, but not a lot of people look at this XML data. I actually did, because I was visualizing election data in 2012 with my friend Bob, and we created this for the Socialist Party, which we both aligned to, and we started parsing this this data. And in 2014, it became more broadly available. But I also found that, like, data corruption bugs in the XML, which I needed to report to the Election Council. So I was already mailing with them in 2014 about this these bugs in the data. So then 2017 came, and there were some troubles. The software used is mainly document-generating software, and these documents can get really large, like more than 100 pages. And it's not used at the polling stations. Those are more than 10,000. But it's used at every municipality. It used to be more than 400, now it's like 340 or something. But hackers find quite some issues in this old OSV software, like cross-site scripting, and the practices were not being enforced, so it should be air-gapped, but there was no check for that. The password strength was ridiculous, the checking of the authenticity could be skipped, the double entry of the votes could be skipped. And yeah, there were quite some concerns, and the minister actually banned the software to be used. The problem was later that the minister found out that, or the Election Council protested, like, we cannot do software, we cannot do elections without software. So it got half banned, like you could still use it if you had some extra checks. And Fox IT did an official pen test for that. It was made public, which was really nice and created the precedent to ever since make every security report for the Election Council public, or almost every election report for the council public. But that was nice. And later also the CEO of Fox IT joined the Election Council in 2018. But these were one of the worst elections, because the election data was a mess. At some municipalities, people used spreadsheets instead of the software, and they made quite some errors there. Like, they skipped, they only did the first six parties because the rest was off screen, stuff like that. And even better, of course, you start, of course, in a spreadsheet with the party number one, and the second party is number two. So, of course, if you add everything up, you add a one, you add a two, so that also happens. So don't use spreadsheets for this stuff. The software is especially made to do this, right? So then I worked at OpenState, and we were so annoyed by all this data coming out that late that we started scraping ourselves, and we started to publish before the Election Council was doing their stuff. And OpenState still scrapes every polling station and publishes that, so that's really nice. So yeah, then starting my days at the Election Council, which were five elections in which the software we used, but there's a small asterisk there because actually there were six elections. But one of those elections was at Sint Eustatius, and they didn't use the software. So it's not used at the abroad non-European Netherlands, let's say it that way. And I counted six incidents, but actually way more occurred due to software misuse. So for people who don't know the Netherlands, we have the Kingdom of the Netherlands, and there's the Netherlands, and then there's the European part of the Netherlands and the overseas part of the Netherlands, and part of the overseas part of the Netherlands is part of the Netherlands, but also, well, it gets pretty complicated, but anyway, the non-European Netherlands doesn't use the software. And, or at least, not while I was working there. And what they did use was Office. And again, they filled in, of course, numbers which never added up, and it's a mess. So the biggest thing is knowing elections is like knowing JavaScript. Like a lot of developers think they know JavaScript, right? They really don't understand what closures are, etc. And the same goes for elections. A lot of people think they know elections, but when you start to work for the Election Council, you find out you really didn't understand elections. So I used to wonder, like, why does the Election Council employ like 10 or 15 employees? I mean, you only have like elections in every 4 years, right? But when I joined, it was like 20 or 30 employees, and I found out like, okay, maybe this is like a skeleton staff, but it's maybe a bit too little. And it will take you at least 3 or 6 months to really understand what the process is. And it's not just about the voting and the counting, but there's a whole process before that. And actually creating the voting ballot is one of the most complex procedures. And the software is also involved there. And to be clear, I created this tool after I worked for the Election Council, but it shows the election calendar for one election. And you can fill in one date, the date where you need to fill in the hand over your political party candidate list to the Election Council, and it calculates all other dates concerned, because all other dates are related to that other date. And because actually I was sick of people saying, well, it's in our constitution that elections has to be held within 3 months. Well, this is true, but the reality is actually the Dutch cabinet fell at the 3rd of June this year, but the elections will be at the 13th of October this year. And this is realistically the first possible date because of all this required preceding procedures. So this is actually stated in the law. The newly elected chamber should be convened within 3 months. But the trick actually is here, the trick here states like, yeah, when it's dissolved by royal decree. The trick is then, of course, to delay the dissolvement. And actually, today is the first day, more than 2 months after the falling of the government, where they will be able to dissolve the government. So they will just delay one process to make the rest fit. But yeah, that's... So you can check this tool and see all the links related to the law in the Netherlands. It's in Dutch though, but the law is also in Dutch. So then when I came to work there, they were working on the election supporting software 2020. I started working there in September 2020. They didn't use the software yet, It was still being heavily developed. And they want to fix all the problems they had before. So, the air gap stuff. But it's divided in three modules. So one module, it's installed by the political party to create their party list and create all these documents being involved there. The other part of the software is run by the election body to actually get all these documents and create the final voting ballot. And then there's another module that's run actually to count up the votes. And in all these different modules, there can be bugs, different bugs. So the improvements were, instead of the old software used to be a GUI software, and it would only run on 32-bit computers. And yeah, they needed to upgrade that. And they at least had some self-signed HTTPS instead of no security. And yeah, they enforced some codes to be really verified, and you couldn't skip on some checks. And for the election process, they at least had an air gap check, and if there would be an internet connection detected, software would shut down, double entry was enforced, and there was some new signing process of all the XMLs. But if you really look at this software, it's like more than 10,000 Java files. And this is the one Java file, which I think is the longest file name. Also, it's done by by a German company, which is owned by the federal state, I guess now. And so the Dutch software is actually made by the German federal states. I don't have an opinion about Java, but there is a guy, programmer dude, Arjan van Putten, and he stated, "I found the most cursed Java code base ever." Yeah, that's a way to summarize the code base. So, concerning the seed calculation, you might think, well, the highest average, how hard can it be? Well, we actually have a formal definition of the seed calculation, which is 50 pages. And then it's translated to a mathematical description, which is 174 pages. And 6 weeks before the elections are held, the source code has to be published, the election verification by an external entity has to be published, and this is not enforced, but is being done. There's a pen test done, and the results are also published. So that's get some stress on the process, but also the seed calculation isn't that easy. There are a lot of special cases that are handled. So the first elections, I joined in September. The first elections were in November. There were some four municipalities, and they had some redivision of municipality borders. So every year, almost every year, there are redivision elections in November, but only in a few municipalities. 2020, of course, were COVID, so we needed to change the voting law, so there was early voting, but that didn't affect the software. We had some small issues in the documents, but the biggest issue was actually found out after we shipped the software, and just detected in time, the software was already installed. So I think it was like 2 weeks before the voting. The problem was the configuration was missing one essential parameter. It was the preference threshold. And if we wouldn't have patched this, every result of all the municipalities would have been wrong. Because this preference threshold would state, like, if you get like half of the votes as a candidate, to need a seat, you will jump to the top. That's a law in the Netherlands, preferential voting. But because somehow this was missing in the configuration, all the election results would be wrong. So we needed to patch all these air-gapped systems, which is a pain. So we made it an elaborate instruction to all these municipalities. And some learning points: patching air-gapped systems or configuration files is not ideal. You cannot do a remote session to do anything. And one problem we had, because we were so time squeezed, we used the old configuration files from the old software, because we had these standards, to test the new software. But then we didn't test the whole chain of the old software files from the new software files from the new software modules. And that was the problem here. So afterwards, we started validating all the XML, which would have saved us, but we didn't. And it wasn't caught somehow in the external validation, because we also gave the external validation people the configuration help from the old software, which we shouldn't have done. So then the election, there were national-wide elections in 2021. And I showed you before the whole calendar that starts like 3 months before the elections really start. So before Christmas is actually the deadline to ship the software to all the political parties so they can create their list and start doing the signatures. But one of the things I said earlier, we use open standards between all these software parts and XML that's nicely defined. Somehow the new software changed something from XML to untyped German JSON. Which is shown on the screen. And actually during the testing, we also found out some data leaks in this, like if you would create a candidate and remove it, it would still be in this JSON blob. And I said, like a few weeks in, probably this is not according to the law, we need to use this XML. When I was first hired, the director told me, why are you wanting this job? You will not be able to code here. And I said, well, maybe if we have a bug, I can submit a patch. No, you won't. That won't be allowed. After 3 months, the director said, well, it's probably best if you ship this new code to the supplier and we will get it in. So officially then the XML generation of the first parts was supported by Benjamin, and I needed to create Java again after 10 years not doing that. So which is a pain, actually the JaxB stuff and very nasty casting. But after some coding nights, I got it in just for compliance reasons. But I hoped it would never being used, because it was still buggy. Then the election came, and we found quite some bugs, and we got like two or three different new software versions every week. And I thought finally, like, okay, we have so many, everything is patched probably right now, so it should be okay. Then the parties came in and the software crashed totally, because we got a country code, the Curaçao CW, and somehow our the code base wasn't expecting this country code, totally crashed. Still patching that one. I think the day before we started creating the paper ballot, we still had a new software version. So now it has to be okay, right? Then we heard there would be 41 parties. We never would have tested that. And with more than 120,000 candidates in every 20 districts, we started testing for that, and the software would take an enormous amount of time because there were some inefficiencies. And there was, of course, something which never happened before. We had one party that handed their stuff in twice. And they wanted to be treated as different parties, but they had the same name. Well, the software was like, okay, if you have like party A and you try to read in party A again, then we will ignore that because that's, yeah. Do you want to overwrite the party or, yeah. But this happened. So it was kind of annoying and a very special case. But this always happens during elections, very special cases you didn't prepare for. And the elections are actually quite a paper mess because these are a few of the pictures. Every party will hand in at least one moving box with papers, but it can also be five moving boxes with papers with signatures. Because if you have, if you want to create a different party list in 20 districts with 80 names, you need 20 times 80 forms with signatures and copies of IDs, etc. Takes quite some paper. This is my setup, quite some systems running Linux. And when I was running there, all the election stuff ran Linux, of course. We got like this digital candidate list on USB sticks, and I used some computer which would only allow mass storage devices, stuff like that. You get really crazy USB sticks like this one from the Efteling, from the festivities party list. That's a special party. So, because this was the first election, the national election, where we're using this new software, we thought, well, maybe we will run the old software just in case, just try to do that. And because we at least had my code in, which had like the standard XML again, we could also use it because the new stuff wasn't compatible, but the old stuff, I created an adapter for, at least that was compatible. That was also a win. But the old software, they would create a 700, almost 780 pages of documents for creating the candidate list with every rejection and exception. And the new software had some really nice trick. They would create a smaller document. But the director actually found some issues in the new generated document. Well, it looked okay on the screens. If we would press print, there would be something else in the printed document. We found out that, when most of my colleagues left, because we thought we were done. It was 1:30 or 2 o'clock, the first bug. Half an hour later, second bug, we were checking. Everything looks good on the screen. Damn. So we finally decided to change the process to the old software at 3 o'clock. We need to do lots of corrections, I think one and a half hour, and then wait for 45 minutes for the old software to use a single core, a single thread to create this 780 page RFT or something it created. So I went home this is a real picture, 6 o'clock, I took the train. I think at home I was still typing the press notice because I forgot. That was not ideal. But this was the creating of the paper ballot. And if this would have had any delay, we would probably have a problem, because there are only a limited amount of printer companies allowed to print these voting papers. And they wouldn't have had enough time to print it in time. So, So that at least saved us. So then we had general elections. I did some podcast about that with Ronald Prins, about how everything works more in detail. We had a nice issue because we assigned a municipality to the wrong province. Then we need to patch it again, so I needed to burn a new DVD. You send out a courier and they will hand over the DVD to the municipality and they will reinstall. So patching is this hard. It's not nice. We got some responsible disclosures. I never did a grep for Matt Random. I should have done that. So we got some responsible disclosure for that. And somebody who complained about our air gap being done in a too long interval, 5 minutes. We published that. And during the elections, we had some XML transfer, but that was completely signed with normal open standards. And we had a different platform for the public keys, a different platform for the election results. And when all the public keys came in, I found out like, ooh, some of these municipalities are running in the wrong date. Why was that? Some of these municipalities would really use only these computers for elections and store them in a vault. And what happens then? Your real-time clock battery runs out, and when you boot your computer, you need to fill in a date. And some municipalities do that wrong. I spotted actually this also, I don't know, 5 years before that, like there were documents printed with the wrong dates, like documents printed with dates before the election with the election results. Well, this is why. The municipalities are really doing a nice job, but not in the guy who's starting up the computer is filling in the wrong date. And I also found out like, oh, some of the municipalities entered their wrong municipality name. Why was that? Well, the supplier called it voting area. And then some municipalities thought, oh, well, I'm in this voting area of this upper super body, and they picked that. And one of these municipalities who did that was Nunegerve and Nederwetten. And I don't know if you spot something in this name, but this is the only municipality in the Netherlands with a comma in it. And I don't know if you spotted my very nicely designed open standards use of X509 stuff. Well, if you actually do this and you don't escape the comma, your software will crash on the comma if you do that. So they found out on election day, and because they at first installed on the other municipality name, which didn't have this problem, this was a bit too late to do the patch run of burning new software, compiling new software, burning new software, sending out a courier. So we said, okay, just pick another reinstall it again, intentionally pick a wrong municipality, and we will patch it up later. So the elections came in. I did some analysis of when some small municipalities, you have some islands that will just be done within an hour because they have like one polling station. And then there were some non-bugs, like 1 + 2 + 3 = 5, which the software was able to print. And this was not a bug, it's a feature. Because the paper is leading, and the software is only the digital representation of the paper. So some people would say, well, 1 + 2 + 3 = 5. And the software would say, no, this is not correct. And it would say, yeah, it's correct. And it would do it twice. Then finally the document would create, okay, 1 + 2 + 3 = 5. It wouldn't do this for the valid votes, but it would do this for like, okay, you have like valid voting papers, we have like registered voters and stuff like that. So it was a calculation of meta stuff of the election, but we would have documents with these kind of stuff in. And I eventually did an analysis of all the software, and this happened all the time, but we never noticed. This finally got fixed. This issue was the really scary issue. This thing I didn't expect it. So some municipality totals were missing some polling stations. It's like, ooh, damn. The one thing the software should do is add up the polling stations. So but we had this XML, but I showed before, and the problem was this whole part was missing. So the positive part was we had all the XML, so I scanned all the XML. Finally, we found out it only happened at the large municipalities because they were clicking too fast. Apparently, the software was so slow in counting up the votes that if you click too fast through the process, not all votes would have been added up. So the procedure was, we could have checked like everywhere where it happened. Luckily, every municipality also found out themselves. They went back, redid it a bit slower. Everything would have been added up. Okay. And one final check I did the first time, like at 10:30 before the elections, I checked like, okay, are all the stuff the municipality said was being done and the super bodies, did they enter the whole correct votes? But that was actually the first time this check was actually done. Only half a day in my evening time before the election. So the skeleton crew of 30 people, now at least there are, I think, 60 or more people, so that's a bit better. Hopefully they're still doing this now. So then came the municipality elections in 2021. We thought we fixed all the issues. We did some, finally, some proper code signing. We did some nice publishing of the all the data really fast, and then came the municipalities of elections of November 2022, and I added something more to the supplier. I added client-side air gap on all the machines, and we changed quite some flows of the procedures. But then I left, because they were actually creating a new cloud-based system built by Cytal. And there's a really nice CCC talk about Cytal, or at least some mention about CCC, about Cytal in the CCC talk. The zombie that doesn't die, and every zero knowledge proof is wrong, and stuff like that. It's not the best company. And personally, I had some issues with the new interim managers. They rejected me as a security officer, and there was quite some employee turnover. And there was this new law I was not that fan of, because now every number should add up, even if it would be a very small error. Well, I expected that would become quite an issue, and it actually became quite an issue. So post-employment, there was a small problem that they created an election without software. I helped with that. And then there were some other incidents. So when I was still working for the election council, they created a new election for people living abroad being able to vote for the Senate. But they didn't have the software for that, and they changed slightly the rules for that, so they couldn't use the normal software for that. So I assisted The Hague as a volunteer to do that. I also learned them how to do the seat calculation and created some AWK code golf to also calculate it. And that was actually next to the provincial elections, and actually, they had some issues there because they forgot to insert the non-European Dutch cities. But they were lucky because no non-European Dutch people wanted to be elected in the European part of the Netherlands. So they came out lucky. But these stuff happens. So it could have been a bug, but it didn't. And then they changed the software distribution process. So I said it were DVDs before. And that was a good thing. They changed it to downloads. And we used to have platform diversity in the public keys and the results being signed distribution. And then I thought, well, this one system really worked nicely, the other didn't. So maybe use this one system for also the other stuff. and then maybe also do the download by the same party. So then they had like three different platforms being run by one maintainer, and that one maintainer had a bit of much influence on the elections. So I wrote some more about that on a website I run about elections. And then there was a big issue. Somebody found out that in the installer there were all these environment variables. And yeah, this was a kind of an issue because there were also all these environment variables and passwords of the software distribution from the software supplier to the election management body. Luckily, I found out there weren't in there in the national election we were doing that. They were introduced just after that. But that was interesting. So the future is finally, when I left, the cloud-based system was cancelled because they didn't produce the software in time. And currently they're building in-house software, which is open source. I think there's a talk about it in 1 or 2 hours here. And they're finally updating the EML to include more data. There were some plans about a new voting system, but like I said, the cabinet fell, so the whole new voting system luckily isn't being done properly. My conclusion is like, knowing elections is like knowing JavaScript. Even without Meles, election software is really hard to do because of all these processes being that this complicated. And patching air-gap software is really painful. And my software advice would be like, okay, if you do like secure election software, make sure all your election results are open, verifiable, signed. Currently, we don't publish the signed software yet, the signed results yet. That should have been a nice extra feature. And election software should be as simple as possible. Every configuration option is like a cluster of things more to test, and it's really painful. This caused lots of bugs. So keep the configuration as simple as possible. So minimize the special cases in the election law. So we had this special election with the special cases where we don't have election software for currently, which is a problem because these elections will be in 2027 again. I wonder if we will have new election software. So preferably the voting law should not be changed. And then I have last slide, some tips for parties. I tried to submit another talk about elections, but it was rejected. So reverse your process. So the more normal process is install the software, create a party list, print the forms, ask the candidates for the copy of the ID, sign the forms, and then the election council will compare something and they will find a problem, and the errors are found and need to be corrected at once. If not okay, the candidate will not be on the list. My advice is ask the copy of the IDs first, then insert the data based on the copy of the ID, and then ask the candidates to sign, because then the election council won't be able to find any errors and your election list should be accepted. That was it.
Thank you so much, Benjamin. Thank you for this talk. We have a few minutes left for questions. There is a microphone on the side, or my colleague goes to you.
Well, great talk. I'm quite amazed how many failures there are in election software. But suppose your name would be Igor and you would be working for the Russians. What would you do?
So, last part, sir.
What would you do if you were working for the Russians?
Of course, the interesting part is the procurement of the software being... currently, we still use the software being built by the German state, which is interesting, to say the least. I mean, would we accept the lowest bidder being from Russia? I don't know. Or some other shell company. The other thing is, what's really interesting, I wonder if they will have that fixed this election, is having one person in control of the software downloads, the public keys where the results are being signed with, and the files, the final digital election results, and probably also the scans of the forms. At the last parliamentary election, that was one company run by a few people, which are not working as government employees. So I wonder which background checks they had.
That sounds really bad.
Yeah, that was my single point of failure there was at that 2023 elections. I don't know if it's still here. It might be. I will be checking on this.
I hope they will fix it.
I hope to.
Thank you.
There is another question there.
Yes. I've been a volunteer at the polling station quite a few times, counting the votes. I love the paper process because it's very clear, it's very hard to hack it, to stuff ballot boxes or anything, the system is closed. So I have great confidence in the results as they are being published by the polling stations. But what I... in how far is your trust in the system that there's some way for traceability in the whole system? Once it gets transferred the paper gets transferred to the digital systems, there should be some way to go back to the paper result that I can really trace that back. I've not done it myself, but...
Yeah, so the really nice thing is in the Dutch elections, we have these 10,000 polling stations and probably around 100,000 people being involved in the elections as a volunteer like yourself. So that's really nice. There are lots of eyes on this process. One thing I don't like about the elections is that the scanned results of the paper counted polling stations are not being published very quickly or being done in a distributed way, because you have to know, like, currently it's being done on the municipality sites themselves, but there are three parties which have like 80 or 90% of all the municipality websites. Mm-hmm. So you would only need to compromise three parties to change like 80 or 90% of the scanned results. So I would really like to have some more decentralized, faster scanning and publication, and maybe also automatic OCRing of these data and checking against the XML. And I know at least Kiesraad is trying to do some OCR on the stuff, but I would really hope to also have like a maybe separate early publishing system of these decentralized results. That would really help to have more trust in the system and more openness, more transparency in the results.
Okay, thank you.
I would also like to ask if there is a question from one of the online channels. Nope. One last question in the room, please.
A few slides back, you had a link to a blog you wrote. Could you put that back on?
I think this
That's
one.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, this is interesting if this is still the case in the elections next up. Yeah.